Hello everyone, this is Dr. Joe Rubino, and today I'm going to be speaking a little bit about the 7 steps to achieving soaring self-esteem. But before we begin, I want to really just give a little bit of an overview about the relationship between all achievement and having self-esteem. You know, self-esteem is really critical for all fulfillment and happiness and achievement in life and all of the different areas of life, whether we're speaking about our health, our relationships, our family, having fun, increasing our productivity and generating wealth. It's important with respect to our ability to risk and have a willingness to take chances to achieve success and to break out of our comfort zone. It's really a critical element that really prevents people from procrastination, which is the number one enemy of success. Having soaring self-esteem is really the main cornerstone, in my opinion, to all achievement in life. And it's a sad fact that more than 85% of all human beings suffer from lacking self-esteem in some area of life. And this conclusion has really borne out in all of my coaching work over the last 15 years. These same numbers have shown that in one or more areas, whether that is pervasive throughout someone's life or situationally in one area or two areas of life, the majority of people in the world do suffer from some degree of lacking self-esteem, which really diminishes the ability to achieve happiness and fulfillment and all of the good things in life. So let's start in with step number one, which is really measuring self-esteem. Now, lacking self-esteem can be extremely subtle. Most people don't even realize the extent to which their lacking self-esteem affects their lives until they really properly analyze the 6 areas of their lives where self-esteem takes its toll. And these areas are health. For example, people with lacking self-esteem often don't treat themselves right. They don't eat properly. They don't exercise regularly. They don't do those sort of behaviors that support their health, or they do a lot of bad behaviors like excessive drinking or smoking, or maybe they take drugs. Maybe they stay up and don't treat themselves to enough sleep. They do things that sabotage their health because they're not fully aware of how important it is to treat themselves with respect because their self-esteem is lacking. Another great area that is dramatically affected by low self-esteem is the area of relationships. People, unfortunately, sabotage their relationships. They damage their communication with others, and then they wonder why no one likes them or why they can't seem to get along with anyone or why everyone else in the world is messed up. It's because their low self-esteem has them misinterpret things that damage relationships, or they're unable to control their emotions such that they don't get hooked. In other words, they don't get sucked into someone else's negative energy. And so the relationships are constantly affected by those who suffer from self-esteem in one or more areas. Another great area that self-esteem impacts is wealth and finances or occupation. Can't get ahead in life. We can't achieve the abundance that we all deserve if we feel as though we don't deserve it. We have a tendency to sabotage ourselves, and I'll talk a little bit more about this in a little while. When we look at the area of our finances, we do things that bring us down so that we suffer the lack of abundance and the scarcity mentality that we operate out of because we don't believe that we're worth it. Or maybe in our profession or in our occupation, we do things that prevent us from getting ahead. We don't take the risks that we can take in a healthy way in order to move our business forward. Or maybe we hold ourselves in a lower way so that our relationships with people that we work with aren't developed. And so we lack the charisma that has us move forward. And so there are just so many ways that we end up sabotaging ourselves, and then we wonder why we don't attract the abundance that others do. And it's because of this lacking self-esteem. Another area where we can look to see how our self-esteem impacts our lives is the area of recreation and fun. And many of us don't take enough time to really treat ourselves well, to have fun, and to actually take care of ourselves in such a way that we make time to play. We make time to do those things that we're passionate about, that we really love to do because we feel as though we have to work, or maybe we have to do things. We live a life of shoulds or obligations because, again, our self-esteem is lacking. And then the final area is personal and spiritual development, where in personal and spiritual areas, we don't take time, again, to read uplifting books. Perhaps we don't have a strong relationship with God because we feel as though we're unworthy. Many of us grew up thinking that we were unworthy of God's love or unworthy of the love of other people. That also overlaps into our family relationship. Perhaps we have created problems within the family, or maybe we're at the effect of someone who has challenges within our family, and maybe we've alienated them or they've alienated us, so our relationships are damaged, and maybe we struggle in those areas. Maybe we haven't forgiven or others haven't forgiven us for mistakes that we've made. So there's a lot of different areas, and if we really take step number one with respect to measuring our self-esteem in each of these areas, we can see that in some or all of these areas, we have lacking self-esteem. There are some places that self-esteem, again, can be situational, where it's high in some areas like business, perhaps, and maybe low in relationships, where maybe we're great at business and we're great at working and we can excel in those areas. But in the area of relationships, we don't feel good about ourselves. Maybe we feel poorly about how we communicate, and so we sabotage those areas. Or perhaps we're great at sports, but maybe we have low self-esteem with respect to our physical appearance. Again, that affects us socially, so that we excel in some areas, or maybe we overcompensate in some areas, but again, we sabotage ourselves in others. So it's really impossible to go over a full self-esteem measurement check here and now, but I invite you to really start to explore, to ask yourself some questions, to look for some of the most important signals that show lacking self-esteem. And some of these questions are as follows. How often do you find yourself in an upsetting situation? Are you constantly in turmoil with people? Do you have nagging thoughts that you don't measure up in some way? Start paying attention on a daily basis to how often you have these thoughts. Do you spend a lot of time feeling guilty about what you did or what you didn't do? Do you run your life with a series of guilty obligations where you don't control your own life, but maybe these nagging thoughts of what you should be doing that someone else has imposed upon you run your life? Do you have painful memories from your childhood that continue to drain your energy? Or have you completed with your childhood and healed your past? Do you have family arguments often? And if so, look to see how self-esteem is at the source of those arguments. Do you feel comfortable in new or unknown situations, or do you shun those situations? Do you play small? Do you not go out and risk socially because you don't feel like you'll be liked or that you're good enough to participate in these kinds of things? Do you believe that you can accomplish anything that you set your mind to, or do you have reservations about what's possible for you? How do you feel about your physical appearance or your mental abilities? Do you think that maybe you're not quite as attractive as you need to be, or maybe you're not as smart as you need to be? Do you have fun all the time everywhere that you go, or is it really hard for you to have fun? Do you make new friends easily? Do you enjoy making new friends? Do you have an expectation that there are people out there waiting to be your friend? Are you easily offended, or do you react with anger or with sadness or maybe with fear to what others say or do? So those are just some areas that you can start to evaluate how lacking is your self-esteem. Let's look now at step number two, which is developing clarity about self-esteem. You know, recently I recorded a CD that explains the 15 most common myths about self-esteem. And many of these myths concerning what self-esteem is or is not prevent people from actually making progress in their lives and elevating their self-esteem. So if we're not clear about where our self-esteem is and how to elevate it, our expectations are likely unclear, and the results that we desire will be lacking. So here are some examples of some of the more prominent myths, and I'm only going to mention a few of them, and I'll speak briefly, and you'll want to get that CD about the 15 most common myths about self-esteem for more of a treatment about these. But let's look at what some of the most common ones are. The first one is that only the very poor or the homeless or the criminal elements of society suffer from very low self-esteem. And of course, that is totally false. All people throughout different socioeconomic backgrounds, through all different levels of wealth, through all professions, suffer lacking self-esteem. If we look at the movie stars and the TV personalities, from time to time we find that they do drugs, or that they are addicted to alcohol, or that they are in conflicts with people within their lives, or perhaps they try to commit suicide. All of these are indications that low self-esteem is not relegated only to the fringes of our society, but everyone suffers from lacking self-esteem to some degree. Here's another myth. that it's usually the parents' fault if the children have self-esteem issues. Now, although if parents lack self-esteem, oftentimes their children will also buy into a lot of the same interpretations, and they will themselves lack self-esteem. It's not always the case. You know, oftentimes what happens with kids is that they misinterpret things about themselves early on in life, and as a result, they grow up with misinterpretations that fuel this negative self-esteem. They actually feel that they're unlovable or that they're not worthy because they've made something up at an early age about that. And even if you have good parents, you still can have low self-esteem. So we'll talk more about that. Another myth is that if you can't remember these traumatic events of your childhood, you have no way to heal your troubled past. And that's a myth because we live the same upsets day in and day out that we've lived all of the course of our lives, starting when we were young. It's the same upset over and over again. And through the self-esteem book and the self-esteem course, you will gain insight into what some of those upsets are so that you can actually now start to heal your past. You can start to reinvent who you are and the interpretations that you made up about yourself. Another common myth is that your self-esteem is unrelated to your level of success in life. And that's totally false because to the extent that you can have high self-esteem, you can accomplish much more. And not only that, but you can be much more fulfilled. You'll be more in touch with what your gifts are and what your values are, and you'll be able to honor them more fully. So it's really important to have it all, to have happiness and rich, rewarding, fulfilling life. Self-esteem is really critical. Another myth is that it makes no sense to spend any amount of time on your troubled past. After all, it's your future, not your past, that's important. And, you know, I agree that it's important to not focus on the past to the extent that you dwell there, but it is important to clean up your past. It's important to heal any of those traumatic episodes that have you feel as though you're draining your energy by looking there and by constantly being nagged at something that happened to you in your past. Maybe it's a family relationship that you haven't healed, or maybe it's what someone said or did years ago that still haunts you. And so to have high self-esteem, it's an important thing to move on. And through the coaching work that we do at the Center for Personal Reinvention and some of the self-coaching programs like the Success Code books or like the self-esteem book, those all have the ability to support you to gain access to healing your past. Another myth is that people have a right to their emotions and that it's not fair to deny them a right to be angry when they've been wronged. And, you know, it's really not about being right or wrong. It's not about having a right to be angry because, you know, you can do whatever serves you best. But the question is, does it serve you to be angry all the time? Does it serve you to be sad or afraid? And I would say 99% of the time it does not. It does not serve you to go to these emotions, to be triggered easily by the emotions of others. And so when you have high self-esteem, you'll see that you can actually move through these emotions that sabotage you, that keep you small and have you feel poorly about yourself. Another great myth is that all families are dysfunctional and that anger, sadness, and fear are just a part of life and that there's no escaping these emotions. And yeah, a lot of families do have dysfunctional problems, but you know what? You need not have dysfunction going on in your family. You can clean that up. You can actually move through some of the behaviors that don't support your family's happiness and your family's relationships with each other. So I'd really encourage you not to buy into that myth. And a last myth that I'm going to speak about is the fact that elevating self-esteem is a long and painful process that can take years to accomplish. And you know what? It need not take years. It can be like a light switch where you flip the light switch and immediately you get a sense that you have broken through some of these issues. And some of the work that we do with people to elevate their self-esteem is that quick. Within a one-hour coaching session, oftentimes, I am able to support people to get in touch with what they made up that has them feel poorly about themselves and to reinterpret their life or their situations in such a way that they can actually move forward. And with that, let's talk a little bit about step number three, which is completing your past. Completing your past is an essential aspect for being able to be present right now, in the here and now, and to have a compelling future that you can actually live with gusto. So I'd like to start by talking a little bit about the fact that many of the self-esteem challenges that we have come from unproductive interpretations and beliefs that have been created in our past. And one of the greatest ways for us to complete our past is to actually get in touch with some of the strategies that I go through in the self-esteem book and in the self-esteem course, where we can actually complete our past. We can actually get in touch with what those upsetting childhood events were that have us drain our energy, where we made up something about who we are in such a way that it keeps us small, it keeps us feeling like we're unworthy or we're unlovable or we're not good enough in one or more ways. When we can separate out the facts from what happened during our childhood event that caused us to feel badly about ourselves initially, and we can give new meaning to what happened where someone said or did something in such a way that we can actually heal that episode, we can actually reinterpret it in a way. And again, through the work that we do at the Center for Personal Reinvention and with the self-esteem programs, we actually can heal that past. Here are examples that might illustrate better how people maybe initially damaged their self-esteem. So one common example that I hear all the time is, as a child, someone was called stupid when they did something. Perhaps maybe they left the front door open and an animal came into the house. And the parent said, "You're stupid. You know, don't you know you have to shut the door?" So some episode where a child now was called a name like stupid or ugly or dense or something that they bought into. And from that perspective onward, they now started to look at themselves as defective in some way. And then when the next episode or incident came about, they took what they made up about themselves already or they bought into when a parent or an authority figure called them a name, and they now look at the world with the expectation that they are stupid, so they do stupid things. Or they look from the perspective that they're not good, that they're evil, that they're unworthy in some way, that they're flawed in some manner. And so they create a self-fulfilling prophecy. Another common episode of an early episode that caused people to damage their self-esteem was when a baby brother or sister was born. And up until that point in the child's life, maybe 2, 3, 4, they were the center of attention in the family. And when the baby brother or sister were born right now, they made up that they're not getting all the attention, of course, and so they made up that they're not worthy of their parents' love, that they were not good enough, because if they were, their parents wouldn't have had another child to be a brother or a sister. And so from that point onward, they become a people pleaser. They try to be good enough, or maybe they become resigned to being not good enough and they hide and they play small. So there's a lot of different interpretations around each of these incidences that cause people to lose self-esteem. Another common scenario is when parents get divorced. And again, the child assumes that if they were worthy, the parents would be together. Maybe the parents fought about the child, or maybe the child made up that it's their fault that the parents separated. And so the child goes through life thinking that if they were only worthy enough, if they were good enough, their parents would be together. They'd still have a happy family. And so they blame themselves for something maybe that they did, or that they might have left their toys out or kept their room messy, or they might have made a mistake and their parents got angry and they remember that episode and they think that they're the source of their parents' divorce. And so whatever your personal incident was that triggered these feelings of low self-esteem, some of the work that we do is actually able to complete your past so that we can actually move on to step number 4, which is assessing the present. And assessing the present is so important because it's important to gain clarity regarding what's working in your life and what is not. And when we can gain some clarity about this, we can actually take responsibility for everything that shows up around us. And we can actually act proactively in a way that can support us to take bold actions to address any of the areas that aren't working optimally. So here are some revealing questions that I'm going to ask you that you can ask yourself in order to measure if you're moving toward or away from manifesting your idea of what a perfect life would be, your ideal life really, with high self-esteem. So let's look in each of the different areas of life so that you can actually start to gain some clarity as to how you're doing presently. First, in the area of health, do you take great care of your physical health? Are your eating habits good, or do you eat junk food? Do you exercise regularly, or is exercise something that only other people do? How about your mental health? Do you read positive books or listen to positive audios? Are you constantly subjecting yourself to negativity from TV or violent movies, perhaps? So do you have nurturing relationships, or do you have abusive relationships within your life that are damaging your health and stealing from your happiness? Let's look at the area of finances. in the realm of wealth, do you save a portion of what you earn monthly? And do you have a plan to invest or to become debt-free so that you're actually planning for your future? Are you happy with your career or your job or your business, or are you suffering there? Does your vocation match your avocation? In other words, do you really love what you do? Let's look now in the area of relationships. Do you have many rewarding, close, and loving relationships? Is your life gossip-free? Do you make friends easily? And are they people who really source your self-esteem, or are they people who drain your self-esteem? In the area of your family, do you have close, loving family relationships? Are your communications healthy, and are they empowering with your family members? Is your communication clean and open, or is it guarded? Do you have trust issues? Do your family members have trust issues? Have you forgiven anyone who's hurt you, and have they forgiven you? Do you champion each other regularly in your family? Do you tell each other how great you are? Do you acknowledge each other for the things that you do well, or do you sabotage each other? Let's look in the area of recreation and fun. Do you have hobbies or passions that you enjoy doing, and do you take the time to do the things that you love to do? Or do you have to work? Do you feel driven? Do you feel as though you have to earn your keep? You have to earn your worthiness because you're somehow not worthy. Do you take the time daily in order to do something where you can go out and recreate? Do you have a hobby that you love to do? Do you take the time to do these things? And do you balance work and play, or do you just work excessively? In the area of personal and spiritual development, do you take time reading daily uplifting books, or do you listen to personal development audios, like the self-esteem audio? Do you have a clearly defined written vision for what your life will be like, or do you just kind of go along with however someone else's vision of your life is supposed to be for you? Do you feel good about your relationship with God? Are you in touch with your values, with your gifts, and with your life purpose? Do you have a sense that you're honoring those values? Are you living your life purpose? Are you manifesting your gifts? Or are you playing small? So in each area, ask yourself, what's missing that if put into place would support that area of your life to be happier, to be more fulfilling, and to elevate your self-esteem? Let's turn now to step number 5, which is envisioning your future. All too often, people don't take responsibility for creating a compelling vision for a bright and a rewarding future. And we all have a vision already in our lives, and all we need to do to recognize what that vision is all about is to look around us and to see if you like what you see around you. You know, do you enjoy the people that are showing up in your life? Do you enjoy the home where you're living? Do you enjoy what you're doing on a day-to-day basis? Or are you living in struggle and are you suffering? Are you living in fear? Are you living in sadness? Or are you living in anger? And so we can actually re-envision our future on purpose because we get what we expect. And if we have a positive expectation that our future is going to be fun and compelling and inspirational, it'll generate self-motivation, which actually brings about that exact future that we expect to honor our values and to inspire us to live boldly and to play full out in our lives rather than to be resigned to living a dim existence where we can't have it all. If we have a neutral expectation, in other words, we expect our future to be more of the same, we actually develop the same status quo by doing more of what we've always done and really living the same sort of resigned life that every time we start to make some progress, we sabotage ourselves. We bring ourselves back. And that sabotage also plays out with negative expectations. If we expect our future to be worse than our present, we'll sabotage our present. We'll sabotage our relationships. We'll bring about a negative future because we expect to be negative. We expect to lose. We expect not to have success and abundance in our lives. So we actually create a self-fulfilling prophecy with that, and then we get to be right about it. It's really critical for you to write down your vision. Get clarity about how to write a compelling vision that includes everything that you'll want in your life, the things that you'll have, the actions that you'll do on a daily basis, the qualities that you'll be known for as a person, and the people that you'll contribute to. Again, the Success Code books, the self-esteem book, all of these support you to put into place the missing elements that, if added to your life, will have you have a life of no regrets. And really get clarity on what that would look like for you to live an upset-free life of no regrets, where you're constantly excited about getting up every day and living your life. Let's look now for step number 6, which is implementing that vision of your life. Now, you'll want to know that a true, inspiring vision will cause you to be in action and empowered to achieve your vision. And if you're not self-motivated to bring about those things that you claim are in your vision, it's really not your vision. It's just a nice idea. So one way to know if you're living your vision is whether or not your actions are in alignment to where you want to be. So that if you want to have abundance in your life, what are you doing to achieve that abundance? If you want to have rich relationships, what are you doing to enhance your charisma quotient to attract people to you? What are you doing to successfully implement your vision? Do you have an action plan with specific goals where day by day you're on the path with measurable, clear-cut actions and measurable results that you're en route to accomplishing? Do you have clear conditions of satisfaction in your life? Do you know what your life needs to look like in order to be compelling and inspirational and be fulfilling? Get clear about what resources are needed for you to realize your vision. You know, what's missing right now that if put into place would support you to be on the path to realizing those goals that are in alignment with your vision? What are the predictable stops, those stops that are preventing you from getting forward in life, from being happy, from achieving success and abundance, from being productive, from having rich relationships and rewarding communication with others? Get a sense of what's missing. What are the clear the deck items that are in the way of you moving forward? In other words, what do you need to actually handle right now that allows you to move forward? Is it an abusive relationship you need to deal with? You know, is it some education you need to get? Is it a coach or a mentor that you need to hire to support you to move forward? So I invite you to look at, with respect to all of the things on your plate, you decide to either do them, delegate them, or dump them. In other words, you get clarity about what's supporting you in moving forward, and you act with bold action in the direction of your vision, in the direction of honoring your values and realizing the person that you are meant to be. Let's look now at step number 7, which is measuring and adjusting through a personal development structure. All too often, this step of implementing a personal development structure is either totally lacking or it's not sufficiently developed. And a personal development structure that actually gauges how well we're doing and looking at what's missing that if put into place would support our goals and our intentions will actually support us to move our life forward. And you know, it takes persistence to really evaluate what's working and what's missing on a daily basis. So without a personal development structure, we don't train ourselves to have life support us to put into place any missing elements. We don't train ourselves to look at what's missing that if put into place would have our actions be more productive, have our communications be more effective, have our interactions with people be more charismatic. So here are some personal development structures that I'm going to invite you to try on to support your success. The first are feedback structures. And one great feedback structure is to have a coach or a mentor where you look at what happened daily, where you look at what worked about today and what was missing that would make tomorrow a better day. Another is a mastermind group. And a mastermind group can be nothing more than 2 or 3 or 4 other people who share some of your commitments to move life forward. Maybe it's a self-esteem group where you form a group of people and you acknowledge each other for things that you do. Maybe you share about what you're up to in life and you start moving forward to support each other with a plan, and you brainstorm things. Another great personal development structure is an accountability structure, where let's say that you set some goals and you decide that you're daily going to take action in the direction of those goals. Well, maybe daily you'll report what you did with respect to elevating your self-esteem, or maybe building your business, or maybe taking positive steps to find a significant other in your life. Whatever it is that you're up to in life, an accountability structure is nothing more than a group of like-minded people who commit to supporting each other daily through email or maybe weekly through a phone conversation or a physical meeting where you get together and you discuss what worked and what was missing that would support your life to move forward. Another personal development structure is journaling. Too often we are oblivious to what goes on in our daily lives that we can have influence over and that we can implement positively. And by journaling, by asking yourself some questions that are present in the success code books, for example, you'll find ways to start paying attention to living deliberately in your life. Another is to rate yourself after every conversation you have with another person or every action that you perform on a scale from 1 to 10. You know, how well did you do? Did you pay attention to those things that are most important to enhance your charisma? In other words, did you find out what was important or missing in someone's life? Did you speak with a genuine interest in the other person as opposed to just talking about yourself? All of these areas are areas that you can rate yourself on a daily basis. And you can also create a list of qualities to improve on. So let's say that some of your top qualities are listening for what it's like in the other person's world as opposed to just talking about yourself. Or maybe a top quality is speaking authentically instead of speaking from a perspective of being arrogant or maybe a little bit too self-centered. So when you're clear about the qualities that you're going to improve, you can now start to put the structures in place that will support those improvements. Another personal development area is to acknowledge yourself or others on a daily basis. We are good at finding the fault in what we do or in the fault of what other people do, but we're not very good sometimes in actually acknowledging ourselves for something we did well today. We're not very good at acknowledging the people in our families, our spouse, or the people that we live with about something that they did well. We're not good at elevating their self-esteem on purpose. We're good at telling them what they didn't do right. Another area of personal development is actually to start to declare problems that exist and embrace problems as opposed to having a relationship where you're afraid of problems. So what would your life be like if you went through your day actually looking for problems that you can declare in your life to look for the gifts and actually break through those problems and actually look at what can I learn from this problem that would make me be more effective, that would elevate my self-esteem, that would have me be more productive? So all of these seven areas are all critical to actually moving your life forward. And again, if you don't have a coach to explore those areas for which you're blind, the areas that we don't know about what we're missing in life, then I'd absolutely highly recommend that you get a coach. A coach is someone who can support you to look in these blind areas and support you to break through wherever you're stopped in life so that you can actually allow life experience to train you so you can adapt to challenges that come down the pike on a daily basis. And you can actually overcome these challenges en route to realizing your vision so that as you envision the future and you implement that vision and you have a personal development program to constantly tweak your vision and tweak your actions in alignment with that vision, you can constantly make progress. And so remember that visions are always dynamic. They're always evolving. They always honor your values. In other words, they change. So it's important to look at these things on a monthly basis, to look at the progress that you've made and what has shifted in your life or in your vision that will need to be addressed more powerfully. So I encourage you to make the best use of the resources that we have available at the Center for Personal Reinvention, whether that's the self-esteem book and the self-esteem workbook, where you actually commit to doing the exercises that will move your self-esteem forward. Perhaps you're an audio person and you like listening to these principles, and so either the self-esteem audio book or the self-esteem course will be something on CD or MP3 that you'll be able to actually listen to as you go about your day, as you do your exercise, as you walk, as you take a 30 or a 60-minute time period every day to really improve your self-esteem, to work on your personal development, to actually give yourself the benefit of being worthy of enriching your mind on a daily basis. Maybe you'll take on the Success Code books 1 and 2, and you'll actually do an exercise a week for a year. And with those Success Code books, you'll actually transform who you are in life to the point where when you start mapping the success principles on into your life that we talk about in those books, you'll actually start to develop new success distinctions that will support your personal power and support your charisma and your effectiveness with others. And for those of you that would love to join us for a Conversations for Success course, these courses we do all around the country from time to time. And if you have a group of people that you'd like us to come and to do a course in your area, we'd be happy to come and put that course on in your area to support you through a 2.5-day program where you actually implement some of these principles with velocity, where you develop a life plan and an action plan for your business, and you actually break through your stops from childhood and your communications challenges and all the other great things that we do at the Conversations for Success course, which you can learn more about at www.centerforpersonalreinvention.com. That's CENTERFOR personalreinvention.com. I'd like to invite you to take advantage of taking responsibility for making your life work, to actually start looking at what is possible to enhance your communication, to achieve greater fulfillment in life, to elevate your self-esteem, to be happier and more productive, to start attracting money to you and abundance and rich relationships where you actually have people want to be with you because of who you are and of the interest that you take in them. All of these things are absolutely possible. I invite you not to settle for diminished self-esteem, but to actually champion yourself and to take responsibility for learning what's necessary, putting the elements in place, whether that's hiring a coach, whether that's reading the self-esteem book and doing the exercises in the workbook, whether that's going through the Power to Succeed books. It's making a commitment to a lifelong and at least initially a year-long program that will impact your self-esteem and put your life on the right path. My life purpose I've declared to be inspiring others to be their best, inspiring you to be your best. And my vision is to positively impact the self-esteem of 20 million people in the world. And I'll tell you, the only way that I can do that is that if you can impact your self-esteem so that you can now impact the self-esteem of others. Because it's really a matter of geometric progression where I can't possibly impact all of these people, but you can. Everyone listening to my voice today can impact first yourself and then impact some others. I invite you to live large. I invite you to get in touch with your passions. I invite you to elevate your self-esteem and really realize that you're worth it and that you can accomplish great things in your life if you decide right now in this moment to move your life forward and to take advantage of the tools that are available to you. Visit www.theselfesteembook.com. Visit www.cprsuccess.com. CPR as in Center for Personal Reinvention, cprsuccess.com. If I can support you in any way, feel free to contact me. My email address is drj, as in Dr. J, R-U-B-I-N-O, at email.com, drjrubino@email.com. I wish you a life of high self-esteem, of soaring success, and of fulfillment, and really living your life purpose and living with passion. Have a great day.